Welcome to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network.
Seven trades done on what we're going to call moving day. Seven trades done, seven players find new homes. If you're just jumping in your car to head home from work this afternoon, we'll bring it all to you on all of those deals, plus more than 20 names to get done with 25 and a half hours on the clock. It's Telstra Trade Period. You're with Mitch Cleary on Time on Trade. Keen to get all of your reaction. 1300 736 736. It's a new number if you've been calling Trade Radio throughout the day. 1300 736 736. Amid all of that, we've got a new senior coach at the Adelaide Footy Club, Matthew Nix, joining on a three-year deal, replaces Don Pike. 33 days ago, Don Pike walked out. It was a lengthy process for Matthew Nix to find his way into the top job. He'll speak to us in around 30 minutes' time, so tune in for that. And keen to also get his take on where a few trades might sit when it comes to the Crows' perspective. But before all of that, let's have a look at today's big trade moments, and there were plenty of them, all thanks to Drinkwise.
Today's big moments for Drinkwise. You won't miss a trade moment if you drink wise.
As I said off the top, seven trades gone down, seven players have found new homes. We'll start with probably the biggest of them all. Paddy Ryder and Dougal Howard are now St Kilda Football Club, St Kilda Football players. The Saints receive both Ryder, Dougal Howard, pick 10 and a future fourth pick. And they send back 12, 18 and a future third. So essentially, if you're looking at the deal in simple terms, it's Paddy Ryder and Dougal Howard for pick 18. And then the Saints move their 12 down to 10. So that 10 now should unlock a deal for Bradley Hill. And we'll bring you the latest on that in the next few moments. But let's have a listen to the St Kilda list boss, James Gallagher. First talking about Dougal Howard. He's a 23-year-old key defender. He was contracted at the Port Adelaide Footy Club, but Dougal Howard is now a St Kilda footballer. He gets a five-year deal at Moorabbin.
Dougal, yeah, that's a big result for our footy club. I've watched Dougal for a couple of years and been, you know, incredibly impressed with what he brings, both on the field and also, you know, knowing bits and pieces about him off the field. We're really conscious at our footy club that we need to stiffen up and improve some of those sort of areas with our leadership, and to bring someone like Dougal with his characteristics and his character in, we're ecstatic with it.
The other man they receive as part of that is Paddy Ryder. He gets a two-year deal at Moorabbin. Was on the rocks his career at the Port Adelaide Footy Club. A few had gone past him. Lysett and Peter Laddams and these types had pushed past Paddy Ryder, but he gets a rebirth at Moorabbin. He'll play in tandem in the ruck with Rowan Marshall. Here's James Gallagher, the list boss at the Saints, speaking about the new pickup.
Yeah, we're ecstatic at St Kilda. So we're really clear sort of throughout the year and coming into the trade period about a few of the areas of the ground and the attributes that we need to bring into our footy club. And we think certainly these two really help in two of those. We've got an outstanding young ruckman in Rowan Marshall, but we also know that he can't sort of do it alone just by himself for another year, which we were lucky enough he stood up and was able to do it this year. So bringing Paddy in is a great benefit to us, and why we were so keen to get Paddy in is, Paddy can play as a key forward as well, as can Rowan, so they can, you know, play in the same side, and they really complement each other really well, and provide some coverage for young tall forwards like Max King and Paddy, with how experienced he is and how accomplished he is, he can, you know, help teach Rowan as well. So we'll wrap with that. And
so Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder now join the St Kilda Footy Club. On to the next deal, one struck earlier today, that is John Patton. He joins Hawthorn. The Giants receive a future fourth-round selection. Here's the Hawks head of footy, Graham Wright, speaking about John Patton, who joins on a three-year deal.
We've certainly given him a medical and gone through all of that. Everyone knows that he was training pretty much the back half of the year with GWS and training really strongly and made the decision, obviously, not to play. From our perspective, we know he's had the injury history. We know that, you know, two reconstructions on one and one on the other. We know that there's an element of risk with that. And I suppose from GWS perspective, they're pretty flush with key position players. especially in the forward half of the ground. And obviously, I think we all know that they've got a highly talented team that might struggle to accommodate everyone financially. So those two things, there's a bit of a risk from us, and certainly GWS have taken the risk of trading him for that future fourth round selection. So there's a bit of risk on all, I suppose, with all parties in this.
That's the Hawks speaking about John Paton. We'll bring you some news in just a moment. Josh Bruce, Bradley Hill, Blake Akers, we've got some updates on those three players. So stick with us, just working through the rest of those deals. So as part of that, the Giants got a future fourth pick as part of the Paton deal. They on-traded that to the Adelaide Footy Club for Sam Jacobs. So Jacobs was a free agent. They decided to do that outside of free agency. That's because the Giants didn't want to dilute their compensation they got for Adam Tomlinson. So Sam Jacobs, he's in orange as of tonight. Separately, the first trade in such a long time between Adelaide and Port Adelaide has delivered the Crows Billy Frampton. A future fourth pick goes back the other way. The other big deal today, Hugh Greenwood made his way to the Gold Coast Suns. The Crows received a future third round and a future fourth round pick as part of that. Collingwood, late today, they got Darcy Cameron through the door. The Sydney Ruckman, basically for next to nothing. So Darcy Cameron and pick 62 come in, pick 56 goes out. So essentially, the Pies slide back six spots in the draft for this year from 56 to 62. And they pick up a ready-made backup for Brodie Grundy in Darcy Cameron. Pies fans, just stick with us. He's not going anywhere. Grundy is not going anywhere. They just needed some backup for him in case any injuries occurred. And a bit of a complicated pick swap between Melbourne and North Melbourne late this afternoon. North Melbourne, they moved pick 8 to the Demons. So right now, Melbourne has pick 3 and 8. They pick up pick 8 as part of that deal. Going back the other way to Arden Street were pick 26, pick 50, and a future first rounder. So right now, North Melbourne fans driving home from work, you must be barracking for Melbourne in season 2020. You've moved out pick 8 this year. You've got pick 26, pick 50, and the Demons' future first round pick. So dependent on where Melbourne finish on the table next year, that's the pick that North Melbourne will take into next year's draft, but a bit of a pick swap between both clubs. That's today's big trade moments, all thanks to Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise. I'll get to some quick calls before we bring you some news. Nathan's in Craigieburn, wants to chat about Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder. Nathan, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. I'm very happy St Kilda fan with the deals that just got done. And I really believe if St Kilda can land Bradley Hill without giving future first and using Akers part of the deal, which is basically giving pick 10, Akers and maybe a future second, doesn't matter. I really believe that'll be a win for the Saints because we had no picks at the start of the trade season and we had only had pick 6. And with that, we landed 5 plays basically after we get Jones as well.
Yeah, so I'm expecting Jones to be tied up in the Josh Bruce deal. I'm expecting Butler to go down tomorrow for a really late pick. And the Hill one is the one that's fascinating right now. So St Kilda has pick 10. I'm expecting that to be part of it with a future second round pick, pick 58 that they should get for Jack Stephen, and then potentially Blake Akers thrown in as the cherry on top. So I think the Bradley Hill deal will get done. And most importantly for St Kilda in all of this, they're going to be able to keep and hold on to next year's first round pick. So the deal, as we're reporting on afl.com.au tonight, for Bradley Hill looks like pick 10, a future second, pick 58, and maybe even Blake Akers. So a bit to work through for the St Kilda Footy Club and Bradley Hill tomorrow, but expecting that one to get done. Thanks for your call. We go next to Terry. He's in Midland, WA. Terry, good evening.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I'm just inquiring with Essendon, where we're at, with our draft picks, and apparently I'm hearing Bona met with Essendon on Monday, and with Phillips and Cutler. What would we be looking at for the draft picks for them?
Yeah, good question. So Tom Cutler, I don't think it'll be much more than a pick in the 40s or 50s to bring him in from Brisbane. Aiden Bonner is still no certainty to head to Essendon. You're right. You must be reading Riley Beveridge's report on afl.com.au. Essendon did meet with Aiden Bonner on Monday at Tullamarine. So he's a chance to get to the Bombers. I'm expecting that one to maybe go down to the wire and let's see if Essendon bring him in. But I think Cutler is more likely. Andrew Phillips has requested a trade to Essendon. and they're working through a deal right now between Essendon and Carlton. So, of course, Mark Pitney looks likely to get to the Carlton Footy Club, which would then move Phillips on to Essendon. So a bit of a ruck merry-go-round, but there could be a chance tomorrow, this time tomorrow night, that Essendon has three new players, Tom Cutler from Brisbane, Andrew Phillips from Carlton, and Aidan Bonner from the GWS Giants. Thanks for your call. Mernda next, we find Sebastian. Good evening, Sebastian.
Good evening, Mitch.
Dan Butler, what do you make of it?
I'm not sure, but do you reckon the deal will get done with St Kilda?
For Dan Butler?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very late pick for Dan Butler. I know the Tigers' feeling on this is they're just happy to see a player who's won a premiership at their club has been pushed out by necessity, basically. Shea Bolton's gone past him. We've seen Marlon Pickett and Sidney Stack burst onto the scene this year. Dan Butler's been pushed down the pecking order at Richmond, and I think the Tigers are more than happy to see him start fresh at St Kilda. He's number five on the Saints priority list, but I'm still expecting that one to get done. And I think it'll be a third or fourth round pick. Nothing too significant for Dan Butler to find his way to Moorabbin. Matt's next in Wollongong, wants to chat about the Cats. Good evening, Matt.
Hey, Mitch. How you going?
Good, thank you.
Just wanted to have a chat about what Geelong are actually doing going forward in their ruck situation. Like, obviously, there's no way Reece Stanley is the answer to anything long-term if we're serious about winning a flag. But in terms of, like, this year, next year, the year after, I'm a massive rap for Sean Darcy from Fremantle.
Yep.
Now, he might be really, really unattainable because of the Sanderlands retirement and things like that, but I'd like to know who are sort of the options in the league at the moment who might be that next person for Geelong, because until we fix that, nothing changes, you know? So I'd like to know sort of who could we honestly target, which is a realistic get without selling the farm. You know, obviously we're never going to get Nick Grundy or anything like that, but who are those guys that we could seriously look at and say, come on, this is going to give us a better shot over the next 4, 5, 6 years?
So the name you mentioned, Sean Darcy, that's why Geelong was so keen for Tim Kelly to try and get to Fremantle. Instead of going to West Coast, the Cats were super keen on pushing Tim Kelly towards the Dockers, because a man they were going to ask about and a man they did ask about last year was Sean Darcy. He's contracted for at least 2 or 3 more years at the Dockers, so the Dockers would have to relent on that deal. And the point you make about Aaron Sanderlands, there is a part of me that thinks the Dockers have got Rory Lobb as their thinking as the number one ruckman. They did that for a big chunk of this year, but under a new coach, things might change. So under Ross Lyon, Rory Lobb was played as a number one ruckman for a big part of the season. That kept Darcy out of the team. But I think, what is he, 21, 22 now, Sean Darcy, his future is, and his ceiling is pretty high. He's one that the Cats definitely should target. Just another part of the Cats. So the news we brought you today is that it looks likely that Zach Smith will go to Gold Coast for pick 58. The Cats will then use 58 as part of a deal to bring Jack Stephen in. It wouldn't surprise me if Asava Radaglia gets a bit more fitness under his belt. You go back to last preseason, Radaglia was coming off that broken leg. I think Geelong see him as a genuine ruck option in the next couple of seasons. Not for next year, but as he continues to build his tank, they see him as one who could potentially carry a ruck division. And they see, they love his athleticism, his follow-up work, and his second and third efforts. So that's maybe one to keep an eye on, Matt. But I'm with you. I think Geelong need to sort out their ruck situation. And when you're going into a qualifying final like they did this year, and they're dropping Reece Stanley 90 minutes before the game, they can't have confidence in what he's going to do against some of the quality ruckmen. And that night, it was Brody Grundy. Thanks for your call. Bundura is next on the agenda. Julian's with us. Good evening, Julian.
Mitch, how are you, mate?
Good, thank you.
That's good, that's good. Just one for after the trade period. Just wondering if you've heard anything on Chris Marston.
It's a good question. I have not. He's delisted by West Coast. The Dockers were linked in some, you know, informal ways, but I haven't heard anything related to Chris Marston getting another opportunity. There is, of course, after the trade period, a window for these delisted free agents to have a look in. So Damien Barrett told us earlier today, Jack Nunes was a free agent heading into this period, yet to re-sign. He could easily become a delisted free agent after Wednesday, tomorrow night's closure. So keep an eye on a few of those guys. There's plenty of others across the competition. Another name that springs to mind is Tory Dixon. So players that have been told to wait on their future, like Chris Maston, like Tory Dixon. There is a window post the trade period where they can walk and get picked up as delisted free agents by any club. Thanks for your call. Jenny next in Tassie. Good evening, Jenny.
Hi, Mitch. I'm a Pie supporter, and I'm just wondering what pick number would Tom Phillips be worth in this trade?
I really rate Tom Phillips, and I know Gary Lyon is a massive fan. I've done AFL Nation working with Gary all season, and he hasn't stopped talking about how good Tom Phillips is. I think on the open market, an early second round pick for Tom Phillips will be about right, maybe even late first round. You see Ed Langdon and how good he's been for Fremantle. He was a early second round pick. I think Tom Phillips is probably a little bit more, he's proven a bit more at the level. So maybe end of first round, early second for Tom Phillips. But I can't see now anything happening. If they're moving Ashon, James Ace from Collingwood, that should free up a little bit more money. And it might have been one of those two along with Matt Scharenberg. I can't see anything happening right now for Tom Phillips. Speaking of James Ace, David's with us in Townsville, wants to chat about that man. David?
Hey, Mitch, I love this time slot with you in this time period.
Thank you.
I love trade time. I love the trade period. I love all the news that comes through. I don't think Tom Phillips should go anywhere. I love him too much. But James Ace, what do you think we should get for him? I think an early second round pick.
Yeah, I think on the open market, if it was a pure trade, that would be, you know, I'd say probably late second round for James Ash. But because what this feels like is that the Pies have told him, you're contracted for 2020, we can't guarantee your future beyond that, go and search the market. And he's done that. He's found a three-year deal at Fremantle, had his medical today. We're expecting him to request a trade in the next 24 hours to that footy club. I think that the Pies can't expect too much back in because they are the ones that have started this and facilitated it. So I'm thinking tomorrow when we see James Ash more than likely request a trade, it'll be something like a third-round pick for him, only because the Pies have probably initiated this themselves, and the win for that footy club, as much as getting a pick in, would be that they're going to clear some money for James Ash off their books, and we know what they have to do next year with Dugowie, Darcy Moore, Brodie Grundy, and the like. Thanks for your call, 1300 736 736. We'll take a break. Get involved on the open line for West Mix. After it, we'll have some more news. Keep you posted, and we'll continue that build up for that chat with Matthew Nix. He'll speak to us in around 20 minutes' time. You're with Mitch Cleary. It's Time on Trade.
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network.
You don't.
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network. A trade news update for Beaumont Tiles. During Beaumont's mega floor clearance, it's goodbye ugly.
Seven trades, seven players find new homes. If you're just jumping in the car today, this is what you've missed. Darcy Cameron moves from Sydney to Collingwood. Gold Coast pick up Crows midfielder Hugh Greenwood. The Saints, they land Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder from Port Adelaide. Billy Frampton, the first move in just over 15 years from across town, Port Adelaide to Adelaide. Billy Frampton is now a Crows player. The Giants pick up Sam Jacobs from the Crows. And Jonathan Patton is officially tonight a Hawthorn footballer in exchange for a future fourth-round selection. That other trade that was in there as well, a pick swap between Melbourne and North Melbourne. The D's pick up pick 8. North Melbourne get picks 26, pick 50, and a future first-rounder. So North Melbourne fans, you'll be supporting 17 other clubs next year. You'll be barracking against Melbourne. So you've got Melbourne's first-round pick. The lower they finish, the better your pick will be come next year's draft. 1300 736 736 to have your say. Let's actually just have a listen to Sam Jacobs. He's now a Giants ruckman. This is his take on the move today.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, when I first spoke to the Giants, and obviously they put the opportunity in front of me. It worked out really well, just in terms of, you know, where the Crows are going and the way their demographic's going to look. But you know, whether the opportunity was going to be there as much. There's obviously plenty of opportunity at the Giants. So I'm really excited to go up there. And like you said, I think they'll fit their win now profile and looking forward to it.
Sam Jacobs, I think he'll probably slot in as their number one ruck and move ahead of Shane Mumford next year. So it's an astute pickup from the Giants, and they get a ready-made ruckman and he's ready to make a point. That's the latest, all thanks to Beaumont Tiles. Get rid of ugly with Beaumont's floor clearance. You'll be happy you chose Beaumont's. Now, I flagged some news on Josh Bruce. I think this has really taken a move in the last hour or so. So leading into today, St Kilda and the Dogs were some way apart on where they'd rated Josh Bruce. Clearly, the Saints were digging their heels in. The Dogs didn't want to give up a great deal for a player who had essentially been told to assess his future by the Saints. Well, I can tell you in the last hour, the Saints and the Dogs have had conversations, and I think they're edging closer. So we should see a deal for Josh Bruce go down tomorrow. Pick 32 from the Dogs will form a key part of it. I don't think it's just going to be 32. It probably involves a swap of picks elsewhere. I don't think it involves the Dogs pick 13, but I see Josh Bruce. That has taken a big turn late this afternoon, and he looks likely to be a Bulldogs player come the end of trade period tomorrow, which is a little over 25 hours away. Dogs fans, what do you make of that? 1-300-736-736. We'll head back to the West Mix open line. Max is with us in Williams Landing. Good evening, Max.
G'day, Mitch. How you going? First things first, do you think that the Papley deal will get done? That's the first thing. And the second thing, if it's not done, what's Sam Gray worth from Port Adelaide?
Yeah, Sam Gray. Port Adelaide best and fairest last week. They actually didn't fare well him as a player. So there's every chance he could walk back into that footy club at Alberton over at Port Adelaide. And a big part of that is because they didn't pick up Orazio Fantasia. He played 20 games for the Power this year, Sam Gray. Pretty handy in that small forward role in attack. And now that they didn't get Orazio, there is a chance he could walk back. And what you're saying there, Max, is that he does fall behind a few others in the pecking order. I still see Papley and Jack Martin getting done. The one deal I see as part of Papley is something like Tom Papley will make his way to Carlton with a pick in the 20. So pick 25 and Tom Papley. Carlton send pick 9 to the Swans, and that'll include a second round future or a third round future. So a bit of later pick swapping, which probably goes in the favour of the Swans, but essentially pick 9 as part of that Tom Papley deal. So when getting back to your point on Sam Gray, I think there's every chance he either goes as a delisted free agent or he goes back to Port Adelaide, because I see Martin and Papley going to the Blues. I see Butler getting done to the Saints. I think Sam Gray was a further bit back in the pecking order at both of those situations, and he just might have to wait at this stage. Thanks for your call. Clark is with us in Arthur's Creek. Good evening, Clark.
Yeah, yo, mate.
Good, thanks.
Just about the Tom Papley trade, I was just thinking.
No, I think that might have been going somewhere we didn't want it to go. Clark, forget the number. Don't call back. Pat's with us in Torquay. Good evening, Pat.
G'day, Mitch. Look, I'm a North fan. I was just wondering your thoughts on this pick swap. I mean, I didn't need an excuse to not like Melbourne anymore, but now I've got one. But with next year, I mean, if you look at the next year's draft, 17 of the 42 players in the All-Star game are already tied to club academies, and it's meant to be a poorer draft than this year. I can't see us using these picks to actually go after individual players. Do you think this is a ploy to kind of package it and go after a bigger name like a Degoe or that sort? And if so, who do you think the eventual winner is out of this? I mean, it as it stands, even if Melbourne finish first, we still have more points than them regardless.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pretty risky ploy all in all.
Absolutely, it's risky. The points, were basically built all around matching bids for father sons and academy kids. So in terms of a deal like this, Melbourne and North won't have, unless there's a kid that I've forgotten for next year, the points aren't really relevant in this situation. So Melbourne get pick 8, North Melbourne get picks 26, 50 and a future first rounder. So just breaking this down even further. So pick 26, pick 50. Let's say Melbourne scrapes into the 8. That'll be, you know, a pick 12 as part of that. So 12, 26 and 50. It's a lot for Melbourne to give up. This is the reason why, though. They've now got picks 3 and 8 in this year. This is what the head of footy at the Demons, Josh Marnie, had to say about why they've picked up pick 8 this season to go along with pick 3.
Maybe not during the trade period. You have to look at the trade period and also the draft as well. As it's, you know, it's an area that we have to we want to look to address is that small crumbing forward. There might be some players on our list that can play that role. Really, Jamie Elliott was a free agent. There was an opportunity to bring in a good player, and we wanted to get in that conversation. And you know, well done to him and staying to Collingwood. But we still believe our forward line back in 2018 were the number one scoring team. It didn't work this year for a number of different reasons, but we think there's still enough power there to kick winning scores.
One man that the AFL.com.au draft guru Callum Toomey has linked to the Demons with that pick 8 is Cody Waitman. He's a small forward, pretty famous name. I'm not certain if he's related to the old Flea, but Cody Waitman is a player that's getting a lot of interest, a genuine small forward. So that's where Cal sees the Demons having some deficiencies, and clearly Josh Marnie agrees with that. So keep your eyes, Demons fans, on the name Cody Waitman. Thanks for your call, Pat. Zach's with us next in Richmond. Good evening.
Hello, boys. Loving the show.
Thank you.
I was just wondering why, on Jack Stephen, why St Kilda have dropped their asking price for him. It was just a few days ago, they were asking for pick 36 or pick 37 from Geelong, and now it seems as though pick 58 will get it done from Gold Coast, which we'll get from Zach Smith.
Yeah, so just recapping that trade right now, Gold Coast has pick 58. I'm expecting that to go to Geelong. Zach Smith to head up back to the Gold Coast Suns. That will leave Geelong with pick 58. I'm expecting then that pick to be used as part of the Jack Stephen transaction. So I don't think it's the only, I'm not certain it's the only, I'm trying to get to the bottom of it, Zach, but I think pick 58 will form part of it. I'm not certain it's the only selection. It could be, but Jack Stephen, as I read it, will get to Geelong by tomorrow. The point you make about they're dropping their asking price, I thought a long way out that 37 was the pick that was going to be used instead of pick 58. And the only reason I can see why they've maybe slid back those 19 or 21 picks there is they're not going to pay as much of his wage. So I always felt the higher the pick for Jack Martin was, if we were talking in the 20s or 30s, the Saints were going to pay more of his wage. But because it is back in the 50s, maybe that suggests to me that the Saints aren't going to be paying as much of his wage to play at Geelong next year as we thought. Just on the Saints, big day for them. They brought in Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder. They've got three trade targets to work through. Their names are Zach Jones, Bradley Hill, and Dan Butler. But a few players on the way out of St Kilda. This is James Gallagher, the list boss at the Saints, speaking about Josh Bruce and where he sits in that deal with the Western Bulldogs.
Nah, it's certainly not a formality. Bruce, he's contracted for another year. He's a really important footballer to us. He's he's a critical part of our forward line, especially, you know, the scenario we're in with Paddy having some real bad luck with his concussions and Max King just being a boy. So Brucey's vital for us. He's really popular with our members and supporters as well. So we've sort of balanced all of that up. At the same time, Brucey's indicated to us that, look, if you can help me or allow me to get to the Bulldogs, I'd quite like that. So we're going to take that into consideration, balancing all those things up. So what it just means is that, with Brad and Dougal, we need to organise a trade that we consider that is a fair reflection of Brucey's talent and performances, and also how important he is to us, particularly given that he's contracted. So that's a fairly boring answer for you guys, but if nothing else, at least we're speaking to the Bulldogs, and it feels like we're inching closer there as well, mate.
Well, that was James Gallagher speaking around 3:30, 4 p.m. I do know that since that, the Dogs and the Saints have had further conversations. So I'm taking from that that it's a little bit more progressed, and I'm seeing pick 32 forming a key part of that deal to get Josh Bruce from St Kilda to the Dogs. Now, Blake Akers is a name that's emerged late today. St Kilda footballer, he's on a plane as we speak heading over to Western Australia. He'll go through a medical screening tomorrow to potentially form part of the deal for Bradley Hill. This is Gallagher, the list boss at the Saints, speaking about his current player, Blake Akers.
Possibly. I do. It's been reported that that Fremantle have indicated some level of interest in him. I mean, this time of year, that sort of those discussions happen, certainly for interstate players. It's too early to speculate on whether he will or won't. But, yeah, I mean, we're pretty open-minded, as are Fremantle at the moment, with what it'll take and what it'll need to look like to get a fair deal done.
Every chance Blake Akers could be a Fremantle footballer by tomorrow. Just a quick update here. Craig Cameron speaking about Jack Martin. Plenty of questions coming through about Jack Martin. So this is the Gold Coast list manager speaking about Jack Martin, his move to Carlton.
We're certainly talking. Carlton are tied up in a few other things. So I'm hoping to see a bit of movement on Jack today. But, yeah, it's a little bit more complex, that one.
Do you want a first-round pick, Craig, for Jack Martin?
We'd like a little bit more than the future second, so we'd like something that involves a first-round pick, yeah.
That was Craig Cameron speaking on SEN Breakfast this morning. 1300 736 736. Keep your calls coming on the open line for West Mix. Those in the know West Mix is the go. After the break, we'll hear from new Crows coach Matthew Nix.
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network.
You don't...
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network.
A big day in Adelaide. The Crows getting a new senior coach. His name is Matthew Nix. 8 years at the Port Adelaide Footy Club. 1 year as Leon Cameron's right-hand man at the Giants. He joins us on the line here on Time on Trade. Matthew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for the opportunity to chat.
8 years at the arch rival across town, the Power. Can you talk us through the feelings walking into West Lakes today as the senior coach of the Adelaide Footy Club?
Yeah, look, it was a really good feeling. We've obviously gone through quite a process in the lead up to this. You know, after we didn't quite get the job done at the Giants in the grand final, my sort of time went straight into preparing and speaking to the Adelaide Footy Club about the opportunity here to head coach. So, look, I couldn't have been more happy walking in this morning and meeting a lot of the staff and members of the club. They've got an amazing supporter base down here that are super passionate. So, you know, being an Adelaide boy, I was quite comfortable wandering in. But it'll be an interesting one when we do match up against them in the showdown when that comes around during the year. So we'll just see how that goes.
It's 33 days since Don Pike walked out from the role that you now assume. It felt like a lengthy process. Can you talk us through as much as you can as the amount of interviews you had and the amount of times you spoke to the coaching panel at the Crows? Because from the outside, it feels like it was a pretty lengthy and exhaustive process.
Yeah, look, I mean, ultimately, it was a really professionally run process, which was the most important part. We touched base probably early in the final series, just around was there any interest from my side. And then the club were really professional and they allowed me to work through the final series, you know, without worrying about, you know, preparing or sitting in any interviews. So, you know, until that time that the grand final had been played, you know, I was able to really focus for the Giants, and unfortunately we didn't quite get it done. But at the moment that, you know, the granny finished, I probably went into preparation mode and we caught up a number of times, you know, three or four times over the next few weeks. A number of presentations and just sitting down and talking, I guess trying to get to a point and find out, you know, do our paths align? Am I the right coach for the job? And in the end, it, you know, it went my way. And, you know, I strongly believe that the longer I spent with the Adelaide Footy Club, the more I understood what they were about, the more I saw good people working in, you know, in important positions. And I knew it was, you know, it was a position I really wanted to take up.
Ever since you were part of the Level 4 coaching certificate back in 2015, your name has always been touted as a senior coach for the future. Can you talk us through what you've learned from, firstly, Ken Hinckley and more recently, Leon Cameron, to position you for this role?
Yeah, I've learned plenty. And, you know, you mentioned two of the guys. Obviously, with Ken, you know, we spent 7 years together. And I learned a hell of a lot from Ken. He's got fantastic experience in the game, not only as head coach, but he's been in the game for a long period of time. And, you know, we had ups and downs. You know, even at Port Adelaide, we had some really good success early and then couldn't quite find that form. So you learn a lot from those. You know, even when you're not performing that well, you're learning a hell of a lot. There are a number of other coaches at Port Adelaide that I learned from also, but, you know, without listing them all off. And, going up to the Giants for 12 months, you know, for the last season, my intention was always to go for a lot longer than that. The moment I walked in the door up there, Leon and Wayne Campbell and Dave Massey welcomed me with open arms and my family. And I learned a hell of a lot about culture. You know, I obviously had a fair bit of that in my, as a background to my coaching and what I'm about, but just see how they operate up there. It's just a fantastic organisation. So I've been blessed to work alongside some very, very good people and very experienced people along the journey.
Everyone who's from Adelaide talks about the bubble. They talk about the two-team town, what it takes out of you. Even Dom Pike in his farewell press conference spoke about just how footy can take hold of you sometimes and how it drained him a little bit. Are you ready? Do you feel you're ready to handle the Adelaide footy bubble?
Well, I guess I'll never know until you're actually sitting in the hot seat. And Ken and I used to discuss it a lot. And, you know, we'd sort of come to the end of seasons or midway through and we'd throw questions at each other about, what is this all about? What you get down here is you've got a lot of passion towards the game. And because we've got the two teams and there's quite a rivalry there, it's, that passion comes out. And look, I think it's a really powerful thing that, you know, it's great for footy. I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to be challenging, but what I'm really about is getting this Adelaide Football Club family back together, getting everyone on board and playing some footy that our supporters will be really proud of to watch. And whether that's win or lose, I think, you know, if we play the right style of footy and our players are able to go about it and play for each other, I've no doubt that our supporter base will be really proud of what we're trying to achieve.
Here on Time on Trade, we're speaking with Matthew Nix. Now, Matthew, we're clearly skewed towards the trade period. We've got 25 hours to go until the closure tomorrow night. Speaking of Crows players, one man in limbo is Josh Jenkins. He's been told and he's come to a mutual agreement with the Crows to explore his options. Is there any scenario that you find yourself in the next 25 hours having a conversation with Josh and maybe turning that around, or are you just seeing this to continue the way it's going and allowing Josh to explore his options?
Well, I think Josh has got the right to explore his options, and I'll do my best to have a chat to him and catch up with him over the next 24 hours. But in saying that, we've got a really strong risk management group that have done a fair bit of work in around that space. So I'm not going to come in and pretend I know everything. I don't know the ins and outs of that situation. I haven't been here for the past couple of years. So, look, I'll trust the guys to get that done and work through that and hopefully the best outcome comes for both parties in that space.
And I'm sure you've heard the noise about Brad Crouch and his desires to seek a long-term extension. He was looking at exploring the market elsewhere, but by no means is that shut on the Adelaide Crows. How important is your first conversation with Brad Crouch to talk about him and his desire to stay at West Lakes?
Yeah, it might not be the first conversation, but I have tried to touch base with Brad, as I have with majority of our list. Obviously, today's a little bit of a whirlwind day, but the first thing I did was jump on the phone and get as many players as I could, just to touch base and let them know I'm here for them. And if they need, the phone's on 24/7. But they're in their break at the moment. Brad's, I believe, over in New Zealand and Matt's over in New York. I was able to catch Matt, but I haven't got a chance to talk to Brad as yet. But look, I'll ensure that Brad knows how much we value him as a footballer and how much we value him as a person around the club. He's an amazing character. And so he's the sort of person that we want to keep at this club. Now, we'll have to talk through that over the next month or so.
So a lot of new coaches across the competition. One in particular is Justin Longmuir at the Fremantle Footy Club. We've learnt in the last couple of days that he's targeted James Aish to pull him out of Collingwood and have him join on a three-year deal at the Dockers. Are we leaving it too late? Is there anyone at the Giants you'd love to get your hands on and maybe start a conversation with 25 hours to go?
Oh, look, we'd be kidding ourselves if you didn't say there were players there that you'd like to have a look at, but my main focus at this point is really getting alongside the playing group that we have, working with. We've got a fantastic core group of players still at the club. We've lost some experience, obviously, and that's what's being published at the moment. But when you lose experience, you get a chance for some of your youth to come through and show, what they've got. So I'm really excited about what we're going to see from the Chase Jones, what we're going to see from a McHenry. These players, Miller are stepping up again. It's exciting times, and I think the whole club's on board that, yeah, we're going to be a younger squad, but, you know, it's going to be a really exciting year for us and over the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, Matthew, I can sense the excitement in your voice. All the best for the next 3 years and hopefully beyond at the Adelaide Crows. Good luck, and thanks for joining us on Time on Trade.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate your time, mate. Thank you.
Matthew Nix, the new senior coach of the Crows. 1-300-736-736. Have your say. The open line for Westmix. Those in the know, no Westmix is the go. Quick break. We're going to hear from James A. She's spoken over in the West today. He had a medical at the Dockers. We'll hear and touch base with that after the break with Mitch Cleary on Time on Trade.
You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network. You're listening to Time on Trade with Mitch Cleary for Telstra, Australia's best mobile network. A trade news update for Tintacar. Tintacar, darkest legal now from $295.
If you've just joined us today, seven players found new clubs. Darcy Cameron at Collingwood, Hugh Greenwood at Gold Coast, Dougal Howard and Paddy Ryder move from Port Adelaide to St Kilda. The Crows pick up Billy Frampton from Port Adelaide. GWS land Adelaide ruckman Sam Jacobs, and Jonathan Patton is a Hawthorn footballer. So many deals still to happen. We've got to tick over 24 hours to make it all happen. We're talking 25, up to even 30 players could still change clubs. One of those is James Aish. He's contracted at Collingwood. He's got a 3-year offer on the table from Fremantle. He was in Perth today for a medical screening. Here he is speaking to Channel 7 about his relationship with Justin Longmuir, the new coach of the Dockers.
It's fair to say he's probably had a fair hand in it, but yeah, we got along really well and he sort of backed me in as a player, so I guess it's largely came from that. Yeah, sort of last few days been a bit of a whirlwind and came from nowhere a little bit, but it'll be cool to have a look at it.
That's the latest news, all thanks to Tintacar. Visit tintacar.com.au, now offering open pay, tint now and pay later. We've got time for a quick call on the Westmix open line. Daniel has been holding the line for some time. He's in Warrnambool. Good evening.
How are you going?
Well, thank you.
I've heard rumours of Sam Menengola possibly going to Fremantle, and Wellesley wants to get inside the top 10 of the draft. So is that something they're possibly looking at with a few bundled up picks as well?
Sam Menengola, I can't see him going anywhere this late. Fremantle was one club touted, but they've got their eyes on Blake Akers. So Blake Akers is a St Kilda player. I see him forming part of a Bradley Hill deal. I think it's a bit late for Menengola. I think now that the Dockers have got their sights on a younger player and Blake Akers who can play that wing half-back role, I think they might have gone a little bit past Sam Menengola. Troy, Sam, sorry, I couldn't get to you tonight on the Westmix open line. Let's have a look at the power trade, all for Makita's cordless power garden range, the landscaper's choice. We head into tomorrow. It's probably three big deals I reckon we're all waiting on. Danaher, I'm still 50-50. I can't see any resolution in sight, but strange things happen on the final day of the Telstra trade period. So be listening tomorrow. I reckon 50-50 on Joe Danaher. Bradley Hill, I'm expecting this one to get done around lunchtime tomorrow. That'll involve a pick 10, a future second round pick, pick 58, and most likely Blake Akers as part of that deal to send Bradley Hill to the Saints. And Tom Papley, a little bit more positive on this. So I'm going to go with 70-30 on Tom Papley being a blue come tomorrow. That's all thanks to Makita's cordless power garden range, the world's largest range, over 200 tools on one battery. I'm out for today. Don't forget, join us tomorrow on Trade Radio all throughout the day, plus afl.com.au's live draft show from 5 o'clock Melbourne time. We'll see you then.
You're listening to Time on Trade.
You don't need Australia's